discretion is advised.
One, go.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
And it is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew, and no Adam Carolla. And interestingly enough, his replacement, David Alan Greer, also not here. Fascinating. Fascinating. Shocking. Shocking. Yeah, I guess Mr. Carolla just had his act so much together that I imagine what happened was he probably forgot to tell David that he's going to replace him tonight. So it's going to be just me and you all. And I actually like shows like this because we get something done. So let's get on with it and talk on the phone here. This is Eric, who's 23. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing good. Look, man, I've been married 5 years.
Yeah.
And by the past 6 months, man,
yeah,
I've been blowing my kneecaps off, man. I can't even get it in there, man. They're all over the place, man. I wonder.
Your kneecaps are all over the place?
Nah, man. I'm blowing a nut in like 2 seconds, man.
2 seconds. That's something new for you.
Yeah, man. I've been sexually active for fucking 7 years, you know. I've been married for 5.
Yeah, okay. I get the picture. You're the man. But for the last how long? Oh, David, how are you? I bet Adam just didn't tell you what time you're supposed to be here, huh?
10 o'clock.
Huh? That's cool. Have a seat. All right, here we go. David Unger is here. Just getting him settled here.
What's up?
Thank you for coming.
Did you start already?
Oh, yeah.
Are we on the air?
We are. Your mic's not on, but you're on the air.
Hit me up, man. Turn me on.
All right.
Are you on there?
No, it's just, you know. He's
what's
here.
Up?
There
what's
he is.
Up, ladies and gentlemen? Davey G is up in the joint. Dr. Grew, okay. How you doing?
I'm good.
Unacceptable.
I'm bringing it tonight.
Did you come with it?
I came with it.
You're not half-stepping, are you?
I'm bringing it.
Lollygagging?
No.
Scallywagging? Dr. Drew, let me bring you on. You know, I was in the car on my way here thinking of a theme song for the D-Dog,
yeah.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me bring you on. You know, this is a sad time in Los Angeles. My Lakers, they had a little misstep the other night.
I saw it, yeah.
They're feeling a little low. This is a time for tough love, don't you think, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, what about my song?
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the star of the show? Mr. 12 Step, 1999, 2000, 2001, and 2002, I bring you the one, the only. D, it stands for delicious. Aura, it stands for remarkable. E, it stands for
everything.
Excellent. And W, it stands for wonderful. I'm talking about Drew. Drew, that's my dog, Drew. Drew, that's my dog, Drew. Drew, he's coming to you.
Unacceptable.
Nice.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Nice theme song.
Twinkie hole, baby.
There you go, baby. Speaking of the Twinkie hole, Dr. Drew.
No, stop. No, I'm talking to Eric.
Oh, sorry.
And Eric's blowing a nut, to use his term.
Wow.
Prematurely. It's wow. He's married 5 years. He's 23.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, with his wife,
yeah,
can't control himself.
Okay. Twinkie hole, baby. Wow. Yeah, you want to get in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Okay, now, have you ever had this problem before?
Nah, never.
Never. What causes that?
Wow.
What causes
I don't know if it's a change of diet, exercise.
Are you having sex less frequently with your wife?
Nah, not at all.
Same as always.
Same now, the first time it happened, did you freak out?
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, and that put pressure, right? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's it. Maybe the fact that all the anxiety about it happening is just like the guys that lose their erection. Same right. Kind of thing. They start thinking right. It's going to happen again. It does.
Right.
How long
right.
Before you bust?
Oh, man. It's probably about 10 seconds if that, man.
Can you go a second time?
Yeah, you know, I got to take a little break. But
all right. Well, maybe.
Okay, well, on the second time around, does it happen again?
Yeah, man.
Just as fast?
Really?
He said he's blowing his kneecaps off. I'm trying to understand.
Blowing his kneecaps off.
Yeah,
could you explain?
That's the whole thing, you know?
I said, something about your kneecaps?
Blowing your kneecaps off. Anything in the control booth? We're not getting a high sign. Okay. I don't really know. That's never happened to me like
oh,
that.
Yeah, no. Let's keep you out of it for just a second.
Can you get a one or two strokes in before pow?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like 2, 3, bang. You know?
You got a hand.
Can you go a third time?
Nah, I ain't tried that, man.
Are you taking any medication?
Nah, not at all.
No vitamins or anything like that?
Nope.
Let me give him some ghetto wisdom. Have you tried to squeeze one off before you get in there?
Mr. Carolla.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean,
hand.
Blah, blah, blah. Have you done that?
Yeah, I'll stroke it and then jump in bed, man.
Doesn't help.
Happen again, you know?
Wow. Now, what's your wife do? Is she comforting or what?
Yeah, she's cool, man. I don't want her to go find no dick nowhere else, man.
I know what you mean. But you know what? If she is really your wife, if she really loves you, there's nothing sadder, Dr. Drew, isn't it, when the woman in your life goes, that's okay, give me a hug. You know they don't care. They don't care. I don't know what to tell them. What do you got?
I think you just got to keep going. You know, stop focusing on the ejaculation. Focus on the intimacy. And
do some other things. Give some deep other tissue. Things. Suck on some toes. You know. Kiss the love button. Do whatever you got.
So how you been?
I've been good, Dr. Drew. I've been good. Very busy. You know, I'm playing a slave in my new TNT extravaganza that's opening tomorrow.
Cool. What's it called?
It's called King of Texas, based on King Lear. That was written by Billy Shakespeare. Have you ever heard of him?
Never has.
William Shakespeare.
Globe Theater?
Yes. The old Globe. Crank Yankers, Adam's little joint, you know, they got a rave review in Variety, Daily Variety. He didn't even know it. I told him.
Yours or Crank Yankers?
No, Crank Yankers. The show. Wow. Yeah.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
Adam's getting married.
Yeah, you know that?
I'm perplexed. Dr. Drew, I don't know what to say, man. He's getting married. Let me tell you something. Over this past week, I was at home watching, I think it's the Discovery Channel or Hospital Channel or something. It's Berman and Berman.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that show in a week or two.
Are geniuses. Yeah. You really have to have these two women. By the way, girls, the Berman sisters, I'd love to tag both of y'all. Both of y'all, because they're experts about the Twinkie hole. They know everything about it.
Nice.
To them, it's a whole new deal. And they were talking about the stresses of being a woman. So apparently, there's a lot of stress, you know, when you're married and working. And that puts stress, so then you don't want to have sex.
Right.
So when you don't have sex, then the women get more stressed.
They get more stressed because you're on their case.
Exactly.
And that makes them feel objectified. Mm-hmm. Then they get angry.
So when you love them more and like you buy them a house and marry them, that puts stress on them because then they feel like they have to be everything. So then you don't get nookied in.
So what you're saying is don't buy them nothing.
Well, hold on. I'm not even through yet. Oh. Then you give a baby, a beautiful baby. Husband's making $1 million. That puts stress on the women because everything is perfect. So that puts more stress on them.
To be perfect.
Absolutely.
That guy that's making $1 million, no stress on him.
He's too busy
making money.
No, it's just the women. And after 5 hours of this, I am at my wit's end. Who would ever want to get married? Nobody I know.
Marriage has been great for me.
It has?
Absolutely.
No stress? You never come home and your wife's like, you've been out there and I've been here with these kids.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But nothing. I mean, it's been good. I mean, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Never one bad day?
I'm surprised how good it's been.
You never had one argument?
Oh, of course.
No, one argument where you didn't, you know, you took your wife and you said, you know what? I'm through. I'm up out of here.
No. Yeah, it was one with the police sometimes get me in my underwear banging on the mailbox with a baseball bat. But other than that,
no lap dances, nothing like that. Really? How many years?
11.
Wow. Yeah. Success can happen, ladies.
Success can happen.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Wow. Fabulous. Yeah. But get the Bermans in here. They're fabulous. I read their book.
I'm going to go do this.
Amazing. I did.
What's your book about?
It's called For Women Only.
Yeah.
And there is an epidemic of sexual dysfunction
in women.
And it's not age specific. It's about 35%.
Right, yeah. Little gastroesophageal reflux. Yeah.
I'm trying not to belch on you because I've had diet soda, yogurt. Jeez.
And garlic.
And some garlic. You know.
You've been hanging around Corolla too much.
I'm sitting on the other side because I sat on his seat last time, and that, I don't know what is lodged in between his butt cheeks, but he needs to get scraped.
Yeah.
Something. But, it's beautiful, man. Bring them on, really.
All right.
Really.
And you got that? Where's Ann? She went home already?
She already dipped out. Let's take some calls, Dr. Drew. Let's heal some babies.
Here we go. This is Mike, 18. Mike?
Mike, what's up?
Yes.
Hey, Mike. Mike, here we go.
Okay.
This is where you talk.
This is it, baby.
Okay.
All right.
Me and my friend are arguing about like this question and stuff. Uh-oh. We're wondering
when some 16-year-old jackass starts out with, I was giving my friend $1 million, and I want you guys to settle this. All right, go ahead.
All right, go, Mike.
Okay. So we're talking about this. We're wondering why, like, some girls' vaginas are pink and some are, like, dark.
Wow. Wow. That's, yeah. You know, Dr. Drew, he brings up a good point.
The good point is that great minds sometimes get wasted in this country.
Well, no, not really, because I was watching CNN.
Yeah.
And, like, how they give you news from around the world.
Yeah.
Some people are kind of pink looking. And some people are brown.
What?
And some people are darker brown, and some people are kind of mocha, you know, like mocha, like
I'm confused.
Lighter mocha.
Well, why is that?
I don't know. And
well,
I have
that's
always.
What this guy wants to know here.
Well, I'm with him. I want to know what, you know, let's, what is that? The
well,
different colors.
That's pigment.
Pigment.
And
okay.
Pigment can show itself inside of your mouth or inside your vagina. And
no,
so just
not,
like,
not like, your vagina?
Not mine.
Okay.
Mine's pink. Just pink. And you like looking inside of a dog's mouth. Some have pigments, some have spots and things.
That's
just something that happens. It's just a genetic mechanism for distribution of pigment.
But what I think what you're saying, though, Dr. Drew, is regardless of the pigment, the color, we're all one under God's beautiful rainbow color.
Thank you. That's exactly that was the thought bubble over my head.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Nick, 15.
Well, there's this girl that really likes me, and I really like her too.
Mm-hmm.
And well, her mom doesn't trust guys, and cause I'm kind of thinking because she works at a health clinic with pregnant teenagers.
Yeah,
and,
well, there you go.
I'm not sure exactly.
Well, you understand what she might arrive at that conclusion, given how guys tend to behave. So what's the problem with you?
Does she not?
I know, David.
Well, we've been sneaking around behind her mom.
Yeah, but can you just come home and hang out at their house and get to know her a little bit? And
no, it's like I can't really go over to her house at all.
Why
not?
Well, her mom.
Anything about you that would make her feel less comfortable? Do you have a bunch of metal hanging off your face or tats or something?
No.
Nothing like that?
You just come up, you know, hello, Mrs. Cleaver. My, you look sexy today. Can I hold your daughter's hand? Do you come right?
Well, she kind of doesn't want me to go over there because her mom doesn't trust guys and she doesn't want...
Yeah, but if she doesn't trust guys, wouldn't the most sensible thing for her to be able to watch, make sure,
right.
observe, chaperone, then she'd be comfortable. She'll do that for a little while, and she'll start to gain some trust.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Better than you screwing around behind her back, because when she does find out, which she will...
It's only going to make the sex hotter.
Especially if your girlfriend gets a little pissed off at you, then she's going to make sure mom finds out.
Oh, that's great. They always tell mom.
Larry 20. Well, they tell their boyfriend when... They go cheat what they really do, and then tell their boyfriend.
Why do women do that?
Because that's why they cheat.
So the guys will know.
You get back, yeah.
Really, but guys don't do that.
Guys cheat because they can.
Exactly.
And
but we don't go back and go,
I'm
not going to believe this.
They are like some sort of stealth operator.
That's wild, but guys always get busted. Women don't get busted as much as men do because men are sloppy.
Because women tell them. Women do it so you find out. They want you to find out.
Well, I know, but there are a lot of women who cheat and the guys never find out until, like, you know, they're on Jerry Springer or something.
Mm-hmm. Larry.
You are so hard-headed today.
I'm just trying to bring it, dude.
Larry, I want to apologize. My name is David.
Bring it.
That's with a D. What's up, man? What you got?
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Here you go, man.
You know how you see all these things on TV, how to gain weight and all this?
How to gain weight, all right.
Yeah, my problem is, is there any way to lower your metabolism?
Exercise less.
Well, what's the problem? What do you feel like? Are you too skinny?
Yeah, like, well, I'm 20 years old, I'm 6'2", and I'm, like, 145. And, like, I need to eat, like, a full meal, like, every 45 minutes, or I'm, like, feeling like I'm starving, you know?
Wow.
What do the other men in your family look like when they were your age? Were they the same body type?
My dad's skinny, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, you know, she's pretty healthy and all.
Well, she's a big girl?
Big bone girl? Got your dad's genes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, he doesn't have to eat, like, a full meal all the time like I do, so
Well, you're still growing, probably, too.
How old are you?
20.
Right. Have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, I've talked to him about it, but he said he's never had that problem before, and I go to doctors, and they said they don't really tell me anything.
But that's the point. You're not unhealthy. You don't have a disease. This is you.
Okay.
This is just you, and you need to, you know, increase your calorie intake as much as you can. And
you should be happy. You can eat junk food and stuff
God,
like that,
sounds like a dream come true.
To be young.
I was just wondering if there was any way to lower it.
You can kind of change the metabolism. You can build different kinds of muscle by lifting heavy weights and doing lower reps, that kind of thing. But if you're exercising, of course, muscle builds, increases your metabolic demands, and ultimately, you know, Six of one, half a dozen other, really.
You're preaching tonight.
You have to gain weight to get muscle, though, right?
Right. Yeah. And you have to spend money to what? Make money. See, let me break something
up. But you're trying to outrun your genes, outrun what God gave you, and it just doesn't happen.
And you know why, Dr. True? Because there's no red light for what? Time. Because time keeps moving, you know, straight ahead.
That's right. You have a song for that, too?
No, oh, okay. I don't. But I got another Dr. Drew song in my hip pocket. A little later!
Jeremy, 16.
We are busting through here, man. What's up?
Hey, we're bringing it.
We're bringing it, man. We ain't messing around today.
All right, hey, guys.
Let's hear some babies.
I sort of have a big problem.
Yeah.
I've been with this girl for, say, 2 years, give or take, and she is basically holding me hostage in this relationship by threatening suicide if I end it.
Okay.
And like about 6 months ago, I ended it with her. She didn't make that threat like then. But like every day I wasn't with her, she like made a new slash into her body with like a knife or something like that.
Is that why you got back with her?
Yeah.
Did you tell anyone about this?
Yeah, I talked to her mother about this.
Man.
Right.
And her mom was like, "Well, you have no business leaving her."
Oh my God.
Did her mom really say that?
Yeah.
You're not making this up?
Wow. I am not making this up.
Wow, what a crazy mom.
Well, you need to tell someone who's got some sense, like a counselor.
You need to tell somebody at school, and then if she threatens again, you need to call the police.
Yeah.
That's it. She has to have consequences for her threats and her actions. B, you are, as a caring person, trying to save her life. And C, staying in a relationship because you're hostage is not a relationship. There's just nothing there, and that you're not doing any favor.
Has she ever had a boyfriend before you?
No. I really care about her. She's like my best friend, and I just want... I'm still...
I understand that. I understand that, and that's nice, and that's great that you're compassionate for her. So make sure she gets the care she needs. You're not a mental health care provider. You can't help her. You've got to make sure that she gets to someone who can.
If I contact someone, wouldn't that make her want to kill herself more like that?
Then you call the police and have
but
her
wait
take
a minute.
In.
Can't he call someone, a professional, that can give him, at least give him tools that he can use to deal with this person? I mean...
Listen, every time she threatens suicide, you call the police.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Drew. Seems like everything that I suggest tonight is just thrown off the table. Yeah. I'm trying to help, too. Make me involved in the conversation. You're not a doctor. You don't know David.
No, you're good, David. But you're scaring me.
Okay.
You're scaring me, buddy.
I just don't, you know.
What did your sock puppet look like on Crank Anchors?
I haven't seen it yet, right. Dr. Drew.
Okay. It looks like him.
Hey.
Really?
Does it?
Except he has a mustache.
Bam! I want to get one of those. Anyways, get some help, man.
Jeremy,
you need
listen,
some help,
you,
bro.
You, let me give you a hotline.
Where are you going? You can't leave the... I'm here alone. I don't know how to work this stuff.
Let me get him a number.
All right.
Let's see.
Child abuse hotline. Dr. Drew's not sitting in his chair.
Youth crisis line. Here we go. 1-800-834-5200. Okay, you there?
Yeah.
There's also 1-800-SUICIDE, SUICIDE, 1-800-SUICIDE.
I have another question that relates to this.
Yeah.
While I'm trying to get her help, should I stay with her?
Yeah, I don't you don't want to precipitate a disaster, but my point is this is a lie you're living. It is no relationship. It's a hostage situation. It's going to break down in some kind of crisis no matter what you do. You can't heal her. You can't protect her from her disorder right now.
That's right.
The most compassionate thing you can do is to get her to care, and it may have to be done against her will. But
can he say that he's going to stay as a friend?
Absolutely.
Does that include, can he keep banging her and stuff?
No.
Oh,
no.
What?
Sorry. But the difficult thing is, it would actually be better for her if you left for 6 months. But, you know, that's...
Also, like, do you think that, like, her mom's abusing her by letting her do this, get away with this stuff?
Her mom is being irresponsible by not getting her to care.
She will not. Her mom has made it clear to you that she will not give her any professional help? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, did you say that her mom
Everybody's
has made
ignoring
it
you now. Everybody. Not just me.
It's a conspiracy. Does her mom make it clear to you that she will not help her daughter get some professional assistance?
Nobody's listening.
She also put the blame on me.
Yeah, see, the mom's crazy, too.
And, well, they may be right, though. That's another way to
it
go.
It could be Jeremy's.
Call me nuts.
No, Jeremy's 16. This is not his responsibility.
Well,
you need to get her to care. You need to have people. First, we need to save her life, which means calling. You take every threat completely seriously, and you make sure that somebody is contacted who can hold her if necessary. And you get her to the right care. That's all you can do. That is all you can do.
Now, Dr. Drew, before we take the next call, you know this is Shout Out Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a shout out to my girl, Shanny. Little Shanny got tagged down in Cabos over the weekend. Brother Man tagged that booty, tattooed it right. Shout out to Shannon. No, of course not. But, you know, one of my tribes.
Right, we're going to do something.
And hit it hard.
We're going to be like radio professionals here. We're going to tease a call.
All right, let's do that. It's
Darren.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, Darren?
I listen to you guys all the time, and I'm a huge fan of you guys.
Thanks a lot, man.
David, man, you are great. You're so hilarious.
Thank you so much. I'm here to heal the babies.
Yeah, man, I'll pay attention to you, man.
Okay.
Come on.
We want to hear your question, then we're going to quickly go to break. So.
All right. Well, I hear you guys talking all the time about how when younger kids, they're abused and such, and you can hear, like, the little voice in them or whatever, and it impacts them when they grow up. And you always say that it puts a physiological imprint on them.
Yes. Mm.
And I'm a psych student, and I'm really interested in this stuff, and I was wondering if you could...
All right.
Talk about that a little bit.
All right, hold on.
Okay. Nice, good question.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about that?
Very good.
And you're going to talk to me during the break about your safari coming up.
I am. So I'm going to Accra.
All right, it's me. It's Friday. Dr. Drew, Adam Carolla.
Bam! Davey G holding it down for Adam.
Davey
my
Al Greer,
boy!
In Adam's absence, and it's a delight.
Absolutely.
And we'll
Let's heal some babies.
We'll be right back. I don't mean straight. I mean, like, the guy's a behavior.
Why? What's the point? I want to get Buck Wildy.
We're just talking about Adam Carolla's bachelor party.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get Buck Wildy.
All right, you bring it on.
All right.
All right, I want to talk to Darren again.
Darren, what's
up,
man?
Darren, the physiologic imprint.
Yes.
Okay. It's a very lengthy topic. There's a whole field of traumatology developing. I would refer you to a guy named Alan Shore, S-C-H-O-R-E. You can look him up on the web.
S-C-H-O-R-E.
Yeah,
is he
Alan
related
Shore.
To Pauly Shore?
No.
Mrs.
Thank
Shore
goodness.
Comedy,
yeah, no, not even Mitzi Shore.
No?
Or Manny Shore. Isn't that
Manny?
That, isn't that
Manny, bad? Manny Moe and Jack Shore?
No. And he does a pretty good job explaining what happens to kids in situations of trauma where basically... It's to give you the cliff notes, a thumbnail sketch. Initially, these abuse states creates sets of higher levels of arousal that when the child realizes there's no escape, the parasympathetic nervous system kicks in and starts to predominate.
Okay.
And in that state of parasympathetic dominance, the body's sort of conserving energy and endorphin release ensues. They sort of get numbed out and they're sort of waiting for the attack.
Uh-huh.
And that becomes a paradigm circuitry for how people then start dealing with interpersonal stress or discord
and how they
into
choose
the future.
Mates and stuff.
It also tends, yes, and it also tends to block the development and growth of the right frontal lobe, which is the part of the brain that allows for integration and emotional flexibility and stability.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the flexibility of the primordial nodules?
A lot of this is the study of the right orbital frontal system, which is basically the integrating, hierarchical integration point of this system. Right, go read Alan Shore. He's got some stuff out on the web.
Well, let me ask you, is it X, Y, or Z? Are you talking about the Z chromosoidal developmental astronomicalization of the frontal tubules?
Yeah, the tubules.
Exactly. I think you got the point.
And there are many other sort of paradigms get set into the brain. For instance, children cannot experience powerlessness. The brain will not allow them to feel that. And so when a child is being abused, they immediately flip into a mode where they idealize the parent. They idealize that the parent knows what the child needs. The parent is beating me because I deserve this. I need this. Yeah. And they sacrifice the self and end up living in shame and have difficulty developing a sense
of
self-worth.
So let me ask you something. Dr. Drew, if you're a guy like me and these squeaky voice girls love you, what does that say about you?
The squeaky girl's underdeveloped abuse, sexual abuse. Yes, yes.
But they seek you out. They think
they
you're the
seek
good
you
guy.
Out?
No,
they
I'm
think,
saying you, me, meaning, you know,
they think
any
you're the good
person.
Guy. They think they can work you, manipulate
right,
you.
Right.
Their right brain is saying there's a fit
right,
for my right,
right
brain.
Right.
And,
but nobody can be that good.
So one of the things that
have you ever been involved with a girl like this? Nobody can be as perfect as that.
Oh, no, because what you do is you let them down, and then they're furious and reliving the abandonment all over again.
But the sex is hot.
But every trauma, every victim has a, creates a triangle with a rescuer and a victimizer.
Right.
And
right.
you're the rescuer guy.
Right. I hear you.
See?
Just
and,
like the guy was who called earlier.
But interestingly, the rescuer keeps the person stuck in the victim role as badly or as much as the
Did
victimizer
you just say
does.
Badly?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a word.
All right. Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah, one word for you.
Badly.
Tubules.
Tubules.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, Darren?
All right, yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Let's
good luck. Alan Shore.
Bye. Okay.
All right,
Darren
so here Julie we go.
Witz just called in.
Yeah, nice.
Did I tell you my friend Shannon got tagged?
In Cabo.
By
Cabo.
Some chocolate down
cool.
there. Down
Dean, 25.
How's it going?
Dean, what's up, man?
How's it going, man?
It's going great. What you got?
I got kind of a sick and twisted thing. I would first like to say that I still do watch your shows religiously when you do get the reruns on.
Thank you so much.
The what?
He's talking about my career, doctor. Can I have one moment of hero worship without you horning in? I don't have an anger problem.
Yeah, let the man speak, please.
Thanks a lot.
Go ahead, David.
All right, Dean. What's your problem?
Okay, here it is. It's not really a problem. I know May is masturbation month.
Oh, how right you.
And it's kind of disgusting, actually.
Uh-huh.
Me and my friends, we come up, you know, with, like, the most sick and twisted things. And this was actually originally a call for Adam.
Yeah, but this is one of David Algarve's fans. So
let's
go ahead.
Go.
Is it possible to technically, like, ejaculate from masturbation while pooing at the same time?
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Dr. Drew. I'm going to say yes.
I would agree.
That is my final answer.
You think it's possible?
Yep.
Yeah,
ooh,
there's nothing
man.
That makes it completely impossible.
Well, I mean,
it's not possible to pee.
Well, let's try it right now.
Yeah. See,
Dean, what do you got to do?
And what if you were already pooing at the time in which you...
See, now
that's cheating.
That was one of the things that came up, but technically it has to, you know, has to come out at both ends.
Yeah, so you want...
Initiated simultaneously.
Exactly.
Yes.
Flag out.
That's talent.
With no help. You don't want any laxatives or anything. You just want spontaneous...
Well,
I
guess you could say, yeah, you know. And
you can probably be done.
Now, are you saying that, like, if this happened, say, to a girl that you were with, would you feel proud that you made...
I might.
Okay, all right.
I wouldn't admit it in public, but...
Well, it is possible, right, Dr. Drew?
I think so.
Okay, let's go on to the next
good
caller
time,
and
Dean.
Forget all about that.
Okay.
I need to wash my hands.
Speaking of hands, Kent 14.
Okay.
Hey, hey everybody. Hey, Anderson. You. I know you're doing your best under the circumstances.
Anderson.
My question is, I have warts on my finger, and if I finger a girl, will she get warts down south?
I'm going to go on out on this. She will get warts, and if you continue to finger pop her, she will turn into a frog. Yes or no, Dr. Drew?
No. And then when you want to turn her back into a princess, you have to kiss her.
Kiss her stinky spot. Right?
Okay.
Put that
on
a list.
Okay.
All right. That's a no.
Well, no. It's not necessarily no. It's unlikely, but there is such a thing. It just obviously, if it were common, you'd see a lot more transmission of warts that way because there's a lot of warts on people's hands.
But genital warts are a different.
They tend to be a different virus.
They tend to. That I don't like that in medical terms.
Not
they
necessarily.
Tend to be.
Not necessarily.
So has there ever been a case where one of those little warts, those planters warts on your knuckle, like jumps and gets in your package?
In your testicle?
Yeah, I said, yeah, you know, your stuff, you know, your junk.
In the hand of the testicle. I'm sure it's happened, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not likely.
Oh, boy.
So, safari, dude.
Yes, I'm going to the motherland, Akafra.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Southern Africa. We're going to Entebbe, outside of Johannesburg.
That's where the big
reserve.
Yeah, reserve is, huh?
We're going to go see the Big Five. You know what the Big Five are.
No.
Well, we're talking about
hippo, elephant.
Hello, coyotes, stray cats, possums, raccoons, and gophers, I believe, are the Big Five.
Those are the ones you're going to see?
Yeah. Well, no, we're going to see elephants.
You come to my backyard.
I know. It takes him a while, but he finally does catch on. We're going to see elephants, lions, giraffes,
zebra.
Hippo. Yeah, zebra, something like that. And there's two others. I don't know.
But,
absolutely. Going to be with my peeps over there and kick it hard for about 2 weeks. I've never been to Africa before, so it'll be fun. Yeah, you should come. You know, I tried to call you when I was out.
You never call me.
I called Adam, and I think...
Please, you called Adam. What good is that
to? You didn't give me your number, Dr. Drew. Here's what you do. You go, yeah, call me.
There it is.
Drew Dog.
Are you relying on
Here's what Adam said. He said you were out of town, you know, doing some lecture.
Oh, yeah.
Learning Annex weekend, you know, like you always do.
I went to Princeton that weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great, great. It's fabulous. You have a family. Okay, let's try being a dad.
Dude,
all right, please. But he said you were out of town. You were out of town, and you were not available to come hang out in Irvine, beautiful Irvine,
that's
when I was
right.
performing there. You said you were going to bring your wife.
I did want to do that, yeah.
Yeah, you dogged me out, man. You dogged me out. It hurts a lot, Dr. Drew. You know, I feel victimized.
I'm right.
And my voice
down.
Is getting
there
squeaky.
There you go.
Because I get victimized, that's and it. You never call me back, Dr. Drew.
I'd victimize. Matt, 16.
Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Yeah. Oh, David?
Yeah, man, what's
up? Yeah, I loved you in Living Color. That was the
Thank
best.
You, man. Love you, too.
Love that show. And I'm so sorry you had to work with Pauly Shore.
Well, we all do things. You know, I worked with
was
Tom
he on
Arnold,
color?
Too. No,
oh,
but
Tom.
I did a movie with Paul.
Oh.
You know, and that was my divorce movie, one of
Tom Arnold's a great guy.
Tom Arnold is an open book. He really
when
is.
I did an interview with him yesterday.
Sometimes a little
amazing.
Too open, you know, but Tom is incredible. Incredible. Incredible in the fullest
is
sense
incredible?
Of the word. Absolutely.
Incredible.
Now, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to heal some babies.
Matt.
Yeah. Man? All right. There's this one girl I know. I've known her since I was little, right?
Right.
We're like best friends, and, yeah. And she has this one boyfriend, and he smokes weed, and he cheats on her.
Right.
Cause
what are you doing with the phone number I just gave you?
Hmm?
You're eating it.
Hey, whoa. This young man is spilling his guts. Let's focus in, Dr. Drew.
Okay.
ADD. This young man is spilling his guts, and you're looking at my chewing gum. God forbid you're brokering a peace between India and the Pakis or whatever the hell they're arguing with over there. You'd be looking at chewing gum. If I voted for you for president, you'd say, there's no State of the Union. Address me because I can't find my chewing gum. Let's focus in.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Thank you.
God.
Yeah, and like I have friends, you know, that told me they've seen him cheating on her.
Right.
And I was wondering, would it be wrong to tell her and then later ask her out?
Well, you heard what I said a few minutes ago about how victims need rescuers and victimizer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're the rescuer. You're the nice guy. Forget
right,
it.
Right.
Forget it.
You don't want to do both because they'll both hate you.
And she'll keep going back to this guy no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. This is what she needs. This is what she wants.
And wouldn't
you
that guarantee
her
infidelity? If he dated
and
her,
by the
she
way,
would cheat on
if she leaves this guy, she'll find another jackhole to go off.
Oh, yeah,
not a nice guy like Matt.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Matt, you so will sustain her with guys like this.
As a matter of fact, look to your name, Matt. That's what you don't want to be, my friend. As endure. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's hear some babies.
This is Brandon, 16.
Can we get some ladies up in here calling? All the guys seems to have a lot of trouble.
Well, you know,
Brandon, what's up?
Hey, what's up? You guys are trying to figure out the big five were in Africa?
Yeah, what are the big five?
You got your Cape Buffalo.
Boom.
Elephant.
Bam.
Leopard.
Claddagh.
Lion.
Rink.
And black rhino.
Black rhino. But the black rhino, I heard, is so rare that they got one in a yard with, like, AK-47s around
it
and stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of insane. They're sitting with the elephant. They got this huge elephant. This guy, 24-hour guard, is hanging out around the elephant. It's pretty funny.
Really?
Wow.
I can't wait to get there. That sounds like fun.
Yeah,
where is the significance of the big five?
It's just a hunting thing.
Yeah.
Hunting.
Yeah.
So this is
back in the day, you know, William Holden, before he, you know,
exactly.
fell on his head, they
used
to go
bag
and bang,
the big
bang.
Five.
Exactly.
Pow!
Buffalo. Buffalo, elephant.
Leopard, lion, and rhino.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
Sure.
You know, more people are killed by hippos in Africa than lions. Hey, let's heal
Seriously?
Some babies. Absolutely. Come on. Come on, Dr. Drew. You're crazy. Absolutely, that's true. Joey? Hello?
Joe?
Yeah, I think,
hey.
Hey,
what's up?
I'm online, guys. I didn't get my name taken, so
it's all right. All right,
so go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Sociopathy.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. I was involved with somebody a long time ago who had borderline personality disorder.
Right.
Did not find out till 2 years ago.
Good times.
Subsequently, I found out that there is a syndrome attached to having been involved with people with borderline personality disorder.
Well, borderlines tend to go for sociopaths.
Yeah, so I'm concerned. Now,
well, no, wait a minute. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a sociopath. I mean,
you're not really concerned because you're a sociopath,
yeah.
right?
Right, sociopaths
Absolutely.
Wouldn't be concerned, by
not
the way.
Exactly.
See, that's what's funny. When I think of sociopaths, I think of, like, you know, American Nazi Party, KKK.
No. That's psychopath.
Well, that too, but aren't there more subtle indications of sociopathy?
Sociopath
either?
Means you do things.
I don't
things.
Care what he's saying. I really don't.
You don't care about
I
him?
Don't, no,
that's sociopathy,
yeah.
David's
yeah.
a sociopath.
Bingo. Okay, freeze it. What I just did is a live action.
Acting.
Yes.
And
acting out sociopathy.
Action.
Yes, there
action.
We go. Yeah.
But what's your name?
I'm going to give Tyrone.
Tyrone. Tyrone, just because you've been in a relationship with a borderline does not make you a sociopath. It's just
there's a pattern.
They
tend to seek them, so I...
And they tend to be attracted to them in situations of high stress, like, you know, when a treatment center... When we're treating people for alcoholism and addiction, we see the sociopaths and the borderlines get together a lot. And sociopathy is meaning you identify your own needs only and you can't empathize with other people. And whatever you need to do to get your own needs met,
Can we take a break, please? Oh, thank God. That's so 180 degrees.
Can we take a break?
I don't want to talk right now. Borderlines get involved with highly...
Hello, Dr. Drew.
Excuse me.
Can we take a break?
Highly codependent
people. No, I want to take a break now.
Go. There we are. Thank you. Highly codependent people also get involved with borderlines. That is sort of their sort of respite.
Oh, there was definitely codependency.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was like, I mean, a long time ago, but I'm still feeling the effects. So I've had therapy and whatnot.
Sociopaths don't respond to therapy either.
What's the opposite of sociopath?
Opposite of sociopath?
Yeah.
Codependent. And that's really the other thing that
is there any normalcy in life?
No, there's not really a happy medium when it comes. You try to find it if you're, you know, the nurturer. And it doesn't work out that way.
You've been busy taking care of people, Tyrone.
And you beat yourself up because you can't understand why it didn't work.
All right, let's take another call. All right, Tyrone, take care.
Yeah.
All right.
We have some ladies.
No. We're going to take a break. We need to set some limits with you, man.
I want to take another call.
Hey, dude.
I care too much. What?
We got to set some limits with you.
All right, okay.
You're misbehaving.
All right.
You're going to like this.
Okay.
Hey, Coral always tells me, set limits with that guy. He says he'll appreciate it. He'll respect you finally.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, I am. I like this. Wow. Can I stand up or just
sit here?
Okay.
Sit your ass down.
Wow!
All right. It's Dr. Drew. It's
and
Dave
VJ!
It is Loveline, and we'll be right back. And it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. That is David Alan Greer.
What's up?
Dr. Drew, that's my dog, Drew, we talking to you. You on Loveline, on Loveline,
on Loveline.
What's up?
Do you sit at home, like, think these songs out and stuff?
No, man.
Just come right out of
you. In a couple days, I'm going to be in the bush. It's going to be nice. In Acafra.
Shauna, 16.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Shauna. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good.
What's going on?
Well, my doctors just put me on Depo-Lupron.
Yeah.
Because I have endometriosis.
There you go.
Well, what they said was that it was supposed to just kind of like put me through menopause.
Exactly.
Well, I was wondering exactly what is it going to put me through?
It's going to shut your ovarian production of estrogen down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to make you feel sort of irritable and maybe sweaty and funny and sort of have flushes and then feel cold following that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to feel very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And people can get depressed. There can be vaginal dryness. So you've been with somebody on this medicine, huh?
You know.
Have you? Come on.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, come on. These kids are bearing their soul here.
Well, I know one of the effects of menopause is vaginal dryness.
And that's basically, this is a pharmacologically induced menopause. And it works rather well for endometriosis, but it's an aggressive treatment, really. You've been having a lot of trouble with this?
No. I just kind of the reason why they put me on it was because I was just having a lot of pain.
That's what I asked. Are you having a lot of trouble with your endometriosis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why they're doing this.
Yeah.
Have you had a endoscopy, a laparoscopy?
Yeah, I've had two of them.
Yeah, so this is what they do next.
How do you get endometriosis?
Basically, genes. That's what it boils down to.
Genes?
Yeah.
The ones you wear?
No, genetics.
Because I was really frightened. I said, well, I have genes on now. You know, maybe I could get testonucleosis.
Yeah, I know that vaginal
dryness. Is it very common?
I know your vaginal dryness is
well, and you know what? I'm telling you, it is, it's really annoying, frankly.
Here's Jen, 23.
Jen, what's up, baby?
Hey, I just want to say you both are brilliant in what you
do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jen, what is your question?
My question is, I have lost pretty much all interest in just having sex in general.
All right, Jen, before you proceed, how old are you?
I'm 23.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Dr. Drew. Jen, are you in a long-term relationship. Am I right?
No.
I was absolutely wrong. Yeah. Darn it. Take over. I am just batting zip tonight.
You're not seeing anyone.
You gotta learn to trust those instincts.
No, I'm not. I haven't for quite a while, actually.
And are you losing interest in seeing guys? Or tell me more about the manifestations you're getting.
Okay, well, a little bit of history. I have gained some weight, mm-hmm. so I wonder if that's part of it.
How much?
And just in the last month, I have been on Zoloft.
Oh, that's it. Well, stop. I mean, Zoloft just shuts you down completely.
Okay, I was going to say, this happened before that, so I thought, being on Zoloft, I knew it had side effects, and I thought, gosh,
well,
it's going to make it even worse.
Well, the depression obviously can be part of the problem with your libido. When people are depressed, they don't feel like having sex. They are looking to have that restored, in fact, as part of the treatment of the depression. Unfortunately, many of the SSRIs, Zoloft, Paxil, Prozac, amongst the most nefarious of these.
Marijuana.
No, that's not an SSRI.
Yeah.
They really can totally shut you down sexually. In fact, women even more so than men. My female patients sometimes will say that they'll sort of describe looking at somebody kissing or being intimate physically, and then they look at it and think, oh, what is that? Why? I can't understand it. Like,
well, don't some men on, like, Paxil and stuff, they can have sex, but they can't achieve an ejaculation
Orgasm? It can affect any phase of the sexual cycle, from arousal to orgasm to the post-orgasmic functions. It can cause pain and things like that.
So after the Zoloft kicks in and helps my depression, even if sexual interest comes back, I mean, do you think it'll even come back with?
No, I don't think. I think you're shut down on the Zoloft. You need to talk to your doctor about three alternative medications: Wellbutrin, Cerazone, or Remeron.
Okay.
Those are very effective antidepressants that do not have the sexual side effects. Sometimes just adding the Wellbutrin to the Zoloft
with
does
the Zoloft?
Yeah, sometimes that's what they do. But Cerazone is a very good antidepressant that doesn't have those sexual side effects.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jenny.
What do you have to say there, Jen? Gone.
She's too depressed.
Here is Loopy, 25.
Loopy.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey. I have a question about masturbation. I masturbate, like, about 6 or 7 times in a day.
Damn, bitch. Every day?
Yeah. My penis gets pretty raw, but that's not my question.
Tell me about it.
What do you do to prevent that, David?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I use wet. Whoever invented wet is
genius.
What's wet? Well, if you squeeze as many off as I do, you don't.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a lubricant.
It's called wet?
Yes, it's a professional.
Well, see, I used to use lube, but I...
Whoa, you know, hold on. Hang on, Loopy. 1 second here.
Professional.
What professionals have you been...
Well,
I
haven't ever interacted with any professional.
How did they
life.
Give you the recommendation?
I put professional in there, but it's what it's for. It's not hand lotion. It's not utter cream. It's for, you know, sexual.
Utter pleasure.
Utter pleasure, exactly. Now, what is your question? You're married?
Yes.
How long have you been married?
I've been married for going on 4 years in August.
All right, do you ever let your wife get in on this?
Sometimes she does, but sometimes she doesn't.
This is sexual compulsion. This is what
my question is, though, is that, like, because when I masturbate, I call sex lines.
Yeah.
But the sex lines that I call are gay lines.
Ooh. You're kidding. I never... Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, look.
And I don't know...
Now get ready for hot, horny studs.
No. I don't know if I want, like, an alternate lifestyle or...
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
What, an alternate lifestyle?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever...
I've been molested as a child.
Yeah. You need to deal with this. This is what this is.
Does your wife know?
Yeah.
This is a lot of confusion. That's all.
And she gets upset with me because it runs up the phone bill, but...
Yeah, well, maybe you are gay, but who knows? You don't know yet. You're confused, and you're married. You've tried trying to be heterosexual. Maybe you aren't. And you're sexual compulsive in the meantime and acting out in a way that suggests that you're really missing something from your sort of sexual experience. Right. But be that as it may, all that confusion, it's time to get some therapy and deal with it.
Now get ready for hot, horny studs.
It is. Loopy, it's time to get unlooped.
All right, Loopy, really, it's really important. You're going to be confused. You're going to hurt your wife. You're not going to know what you want or who you are until you get some clarity on these things.
And most importantly, you're going to hurt your junk. You keep pulling on it like that.
Yeah, I think the sexual abuse causes sexual compulsion. People can never be satisfied. Sexuality sort of becomes this very highly driven, aroused, unsatisfying experience, like overeating.
Right.
And they never can quite get enough of it. and
making
or
me horny talking about all this stuff.
And it also induces a state of confusion about their sexual orientation identities.
Hey, let me ask you this. Can you be clinically depressed and hypersexual?
Oh, absolutely.
Are there any rules to these crazy diseases you got?
I don't know, but we'll talk about some rules.
Absolutely. Let's set some limits.
During the break, we're going to set more limits.
Are we taking another? There are people that need our help.
I'm bringing it.
All right, connect me with line one. Aaron, go.
I'm bringing it. What's your question? I'm Dr.
Okay.
Drew.
Line five.
That's David Alan Greer.
Line five.
This is Love Line.
Six. Bring it on. Bring six.
Now get ready for Hot Horny Studs.
Fastest growing outlaw radio in North America. Nice. I am Dr. Drew.
Woo!
David Alan Greer.
What's up, man? We're here Wednesday night healing babies. Damn it.
That was the stinkiest goddamn burp I think I've ever smelled.
I tell you what, Dr. Drew, I'm an open book.
What is that? What was that?
I'll tell you what it was. I bought some morel mushrooms.
Yeah. Definitely onions. Lots of
garlic. I had squash flowers.
Just talking about your burp turns me into the Rayman.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely garlic. Definitely.
Some shells, stuffed shells.
Oh.
And yogurt.
You want to spell some vomit?
Yogurt. No.
Okay.
No, please don't.
I wanted to hear your cheer again.
Do you? Yeah. Did they record it? Because I'm getting old. I forgot it already.
Do you have the cheer out there?
Do you have my... Yeah. Which one? They don't want to do it. Let's heal some babies.
See my thumb. We got the ball. You better run. S-O-C-K-I-T. Sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching. My lips are tight. I'm dipped and shaking.
I'm
left to right.
Version.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cash check. Don't take no job. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, baby. We gonna win.
That's a cheer, baby. That's a cheer.
It
yes.
is. I'm a trucking in.
We've
been.
Give us a night without thoughts.
Please.
We're a team that can't be beat. Go at them. Because we're funky on our feet.
Oh, he's funky.
See my y'all. Y'all won the game. Now you think you're hot. But we'll win the fight in the parking lot. Go Lakers. Go Lakers. They have to win.
You going to the game?
No. I'm going to be in Johannesburg.
Oh, yeah. You'll be watching that.
I hope so, man.
I wonder how many people can appreciate, or actually around the country, actually saw that Ori shot on Saturday.
Yeah, but the man is Mike Bibby, baby.
I know that. But listen, that, nothing compared Bibby. To that ending.
I know.
That was a nice ending.
You know what? It's so wrong, but I almost started crying. I swear. That moment, he hits the shot and he looks around to be in that zone where you know you can do it. You proceed to do it. Then he stood there. He's like, now give me love. Come on. I am the king!
Oh, Ori?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Something you'll never, ever experience.
Never.
Let's take the next call.
Amy.
Really
lucky. 16.
Hi.
Amy, what's up?
I'm dating this guy. I've known him for about 4 weeks, and we just got together last Tuesday on my sweet 16th birthday.
Right.
And I called his house last night, and this girl answered the phone. And, you know, I wasn't tripping because he can have other girlfriends. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure, it doesn't matter.
Right, and
sure.
then I was
Amy,
like,
wait, first of all, let's stay. Why do women convince themselves of this crap?
Why does Dr. Drew not let these young women finish a sentence? Amy, continue ignoring
I would
him.
Like
Go
her
ahead.
To stay. Start with a real place, which is, of course, you don't want him to have another girlfriend. Of course, it begs the crap
well, no,
out of
but
him.
I mean, there's nothing I can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it, but don't say, oh, it's okay. It's fine with me if he has other girlfriends. Of course.
Did you tell him it was fine, Amy?
What?
Did you tell him it was fine that he could have other girls?
It wasn't a girlfriend. It was just a mutual. It was a friend of his.
Right. Okay, go.
And that's what I meant by girlfriend.
Thank
you. Then she was like, baby, come to the phone.
Should really be on TV.
Baby, come to the phone. Yeah,
baby, phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, excuse me?
Right.
I was like, are you talking about my man?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, he'll have to call you back later.
Ooh, yeah,
and about a half
problems.
Hour later, I called his house, and I got the answering machine, and I was like, you need to call me as soon as you get this message.
Right.
And I hung up, and then about a half hour later, I called, and he picked up his phone.
Okay, how did he sound? Was he, like, relaxed and like, whew,
he was high.
Yeah, you got problems, Amy.
And so how'd the conversation go?
Basically, he just told me not to trip, that she was there getting high.
I think you found the man of your dreams, Amy. Dr. Drew, am I wrong?
What is not to love about this guy?
He's getting all goofy in the head with one of his little chickies.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Oh, Amy.
Yeah.
He's also a criminal. Amy.
Come on. Why is he a criminal, Dr.
She's 16.
Girl?
We're not having sex.
Exactly.
Oh,
bingo.
You're not having sex.
No.
Bingo.
Wait, let me get this straight. You've known him how long?
For a month.
And you got together. You hooked up.
Right.
You ever notice hooking up?
Yeah.
That could mean anything.
It could. Well, Amy, what do you mean? When you say you hooked up, what do you mean?
We're dating now. He's my boyfriend.
But how did you close the deal?
What do you mean you
action,
hooked up on your
yeah,
birthday?
Yeah, like when you say you hooked up, what happened?
I gave him a kiss.
That's it?
Yeah. He's 21, and I don't want, you know, if we break up, my mom to be like, oh, well, they had sex, so now I'm going to do the statutory rape thing.
Right, tell me about it. I don't want to go through that again.
Oh, look out! Which your mom should do, by the way.
Does mom know about this?
No, not really.
Yeah. Amy, let's try and find
hold
a
on.
Guy.
Hold on, so that was how long ago was your Sweet 16 party?
Last Tuesday.
How can you be dating a guy that you just kissed a week ago?
Because they hooked up, Dr. Drew. Get into the young kids' lingo, man. They hooked up.
This is why a 21-year-old shouldn't be with a 15, 16-year-old. Believe me, he is not thinking of this the way you are.
So he's cheating on me, basically.
No. He kissed a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
You're being honest, right? You said you guys just kissed a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we knocked boots. I mean, we were going for 3 hours. So
he made out with a 16-year-old. That's it.
No, we didn't make out. It was just a little peck.
All right, he had a kiss, but he probably has girlfriends. He probably dates. He's 21.
He's a player, baby. He's a player.
So I should break up with him?
Break up.
Well,
with
I don't
him.
Think...
I'd
be curious. Do you want us
let
to call him and sort of straighten this guy out a little bit?
No.
Why not?
But I'd be curious as how to just
come
so
on.
You learn something from this. And I don't mean this to be a painful thing for you, but to get a dose of how this really works, what his perception of this relationship is. Let's forget breaking up with him. I just love to hear what his perception of the relationship with Amy is.
I'd like to.
Out of my mind, it's probably, this is just another little girl I got in a town. I'm going to be hitting this when I need it.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you lay claim to this as a boyfriend?
I don't know.
Yes, you do, Amy. Yes, you
do. Because I'm not using my head.
Well, now you are. Do you want us to call him?
No.
Right.
You sure?
Yeah.
You might have heard something like...
It's not an egregious situation. I mean, you liked me. You hooked up a little bit. But you built this huge fantasy about it. And this poor guy now is... Obviously, he's done something he shouldn't have done in terms of...
Oh, no. I let him know.
Let him know what?
That I didn't like the fact that she was answering his phone and she was calling him baby. Yeah, and then he was like, oh, well, her man was here. And she said, baby, go get Frank. And I was like, don't lie to me.
This guy's a douchebag.
Yeah, baby, get you somebody else. Right.
Yeah, get somebody 16, 17. I know they're boring and they're not interesting.
Get you an 18, 16, 17.
Yeah, an 18-year-old, not older than 18.
There you go.
Okay.
Does he have a brother?
Go King.
Yes, I have a brother.
Go what?
He's from Sacramento.
Hang up on her, Amy. How dare you? Hang up on her, Dr. Drew. Sacramento.
I don't know.
Oh yes, you do. How could you do that to me?
Here we go.
Sacramento. Who is that? Who is that? Amy Bibby.
15.
Oh my gosh.
Ash.
Hi.
Hey,
what's up?
I just wanted to know, I wanted to know your opinion on the legalization and medicinal use of marijuana.
Well, I'm for it, judging just from the way this conversation's gone so far, Dr. Drew.
Did I be for it?
Right here with Ash. She seems to be just on the bill, on it, you know.
Well, Ash is obviously testing the influence of his product. But be that as it may, and by the way, guys, do not kid yourself. We can tell in the first six words out of your mouth that marijuana has affected your central nervous system.
You don't think it should be legalized, though?
Having said that, the thing I don't like about marijuana is that because of the laws such as they are, no one is willing to have a rational discussion about this drug.
Right.
And there is no doubt the laws around pot are hypocritical.
Yes.
Because the occasional use of marijuana is no different than the occasional use of alcohol.
Right.
Provided you're over 18. Because there is some evidence that under 18 it can affect growth of your brain, believe it or not. But forget that.
Okay.
It's the same.
That's what I think.
And it's addictive in some situations, just like alcohol is addictive in some situations. So when push
addictive
comes to
shove, meaning it changes
you can't
physiologically.
Stop
physiologically.
It activates the intracytoplasmic mechanisms in the nucleus accumbens that create.
Is it addictive like heroin or is it addictive like shopping?
It's addictive like heroin.
Okay, that's
one out of five admissions to chemical dependency units in this country today is for marijuana. One out of five. People cannot stop it. It takes them down.
I don't use marijuana, so I wouldn't know.
But having said that, that's, to me, that doesn't figure into my feelings about whether it should or shouldn't be legalized, because we have alcohol, we have cigarettes, and it really is crazy.
Alcohol can shrink your brain.
I think, absolutely. And I think we should revisit the laws on all of these drugs, frankly, because it's all based on a draconian sort of prehistoric.
Did you just say draconian?
Draconian.
Bingo! I think I just scored a bonus point.
Dave Cronian.
Yes.
Draconian law from the early 20th century, like 1911, that is not based on a current understanding of how these things work. So I think it all ought to be revisited. I think push come to shove, marijuana ought to be legalized too.
Because
we can't get over what we're in right now in terms of having a rational discussion.
Now, where do you put Xanax and ecstasy, occasional use?
Yeah, ecstasy should be illegal. Because there's nothing... That's not like occasional alcohol. Right.
Did you see the HBO Ecstasy Dad?
That guy was here. The director was here the Friday, Thursday before.
That was so disturbing.
Yeah.
It was, oh boy.
Why do you want to know, Ash?
I'm doing a paper for my health class. I just wanted to know, like, if you thought it was good for, like,
Marinol.
Wait a minute. A lot better than what?
Marinol. That's Marinol. One of the things about Marinol, by the way, is that that's cannabis, right? But it's the cannabis without the isomer that causes the high. So people that want to smoke marijuana want to get high. I mean, let's face it. That's why I've never been asked for medicinal marijuana by anyone other than a marijuana addict. Never. Now,
isn't it, by the way, kind of like Sexinol? Sexinol is a drug that actually it's you don't get the you know the good feeling of an orgasm, but you ejaculate.
Sexinol.
Yeah, good Sexinol times. is a drug they're using for something.
Completely forgot what I was going to say now.
Absolutely. Well, maybe it wasn't important. But thanks a lot, Ash.
God damn it!
You were talking about the metatarsals of the frontal lobe being lodged with the cubanic spectrums. Yeah, thank you. You were saying draconian laws, marijuana. Get on it!
It was 3 minutes ago.
Can we move on, you old man?
I know what I was going to say. Was that I've never... There's simply no thing, there's nothing that marijuana is indicated for that there aren't three or four other drugs that are better.
Glaucoma.
There are three or four other drugs that are way better.
Memory.
There are drugs that are better.
Dry mouth!
There are drugs that are better. Now,
good times!
Now, on the other hand, if somebody is a marijuana addict and they have cancer and they want to live out their days in a marijuana state, that makes them, you know, we give them morphine.
All right, here's one. What about AIDS patients who say that smoking marijuana helps them tolerate their...
The chemo stuff. It makes them eat and things. And yes, there is stuff out there that it is useful for, not better than anything else. And I've only seen it really be effective in people who get all the good feelings from the pot, which are the people that are biologically prone to the addictive process.
I hear you.
And you know what? If you're dying of something and you want to take this, why should we have to withhold that?
Yeah, I hear you.
So I am for the medicinal use. It's just don't kid yourself that it's the greatest drug in the world. It ain't. There's tons of much, much better medication for everything you can name that it's used for, okay?
Yeah. I just thought that, like, most of those drugs had, like, worse side effects.
No,
like Marinol's supposed to destroy your liver.
No,
Does Marinol destroy your liver?
Marinol, people just don't like it because they don't make them high. All right?
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Hi.
So there you go. This is Laura.
Hi.
25. What's up?
Hey, Laura.
On Monday, I got a motorcycle ride on a racetrack from the sky, and it was so thrilling that I have been so aroused since Monday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, this beautiful, is beautiful.
Laura's an alcoholic.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not.
You may not be using alcohol, but you got that gene.
I don't.
You don't have it in your family?
Excuse me, Mr. Wizard. When you say you're extremely aroused, are you just aroused in general, or when you think about motorcycles, this guy? Explain that.
Okay, I was on the ride for an entire session on the track for probably 15 minutes.
Right.
And it was so thrilling. One, I ride a Harley, and so I'm used to being in control, and I was letting someone else be in control. And it was, I love roller coasters as it is, and this was so much more thrilling than any roller coaster.
No.
I looked down once, he was doing 120 miles per hour on a racetrack, passing people. It was just so thrilling.
But here's what I'm asking you. Are you, in general, just sexually aroused? Are you aroused when you think about this experience?
Yes.
Or are you aroused when you think about this guy?
Both. And that's the odd thing is that I know that it's mostly the experience.
experience and going really fast and the thrill of the thing that turned me on, but because he was the one that was doing it, he was the skilled rider, that I just became so aroused at the idea of him, and I just am consumed. If I can't stop thinking about it. It's just so pervasive in my life right now. I just...
How long ago did you have this ride?
Monday afternoon.
Okay. Listen, I have to know some details here because this doesn't fit for me at all unless we have to find some things here. First of all, no one in your family drinks or uses pot or drugs.
No. In fact, I'm a mental health worker, and I, of course, have been through intense screenings and so forth, and I really and truly don't have any addictive qualities or any problems with any substance or anything.
Well, you've been stoned.
No. But what is the only population that I routinely deal with that has such arousal and gratification from thrill are people with the genetic history of addiction or alcoholism. Mm-hmm. What's your ethnicity?
Caucasian.
Where are your ancestors from?
My family, half German, half something that's been over here since the Mayflower from England. So
you're wrong.
Irish, Scottish?
I would imagine.
Okay. And you've not no one in your family...
No.
Are they clergy or Mormon or anything that would keep them from...
No, nothing weird. That's why I'm alarmed, because I've never experienced anything like that, and I don't know...
You know who else has never experienced this? Is Dr. Drewara.
David,
you're wrong.
Goddamn,
you're
questions.
Wrong. Because you're searching for something, you're going to find it. Right now, you deal with me, Mr. Black Man. Laura is not diseased.
The other thing is...
She was on a motorcycle and her twatty got a little moist. Now deal with it.
When have you been out of... When else in your life have you been out of control? Early on, like in child development, childhood.
I would have to say never. I really
you never felt out of control.
No,
never...
and I think that's why I'm so alarmed, is that I've never been this consumed with something. Like, I'm just thinking about it now. I'm just...
Have you ever tasted alcohol?
Oh, of course.
You ever smoked pot?
Never.
You never touched any drugs, really?
Never.
Why?
I don't know. I just never had an opportunity. Maybe in college, once I had one roommate, and I might have taken a single hit.
You will not admit it.
This isn't fitting together right. I mean, people are going to want to make a bunch of, you know, there's all kinds of easy psychological theories you can derive from this in terms of the control and the symbolism, all this. But I'm telling you, I deal with this crap all the time. Addicts do this kind of thing all the time. And this is in their biology.
Yeah, but you haven't acted on these feelings, have you?
I haven't. And
she's not an addict.
What I'm worried about is that I'm just consumed with wanting to go to this guy and tell him.
Haven't told him?
I haven't told him how much he... The experience has totally turned me on. I told him how much I liked it, and I expressed that, but I didn't let him know.
I can't imagine that it's not going to be a letdown, though, unless you have sex while riding on the motorcycle doing 120. Can you pull that off, Laura?
I don't think so.
Well, do you want to date this guy?
That's the other weird thing, is that he's probably in his early 40s, and I've known him for a few years in the context of... going to his motorcycle shop, and I just had never found him attractive before, but after this experience...
Well, maybe you found it. I'm going to tell you what, though. Just watch. It's treacherous territory. I'm just telling you. You call me back and tell me what this actually ends up being. But go ahead and date him. Why not explore it if you're really attracted to the guy? You're not dating anybody else right now, right?
Right. Which is the other weird thing is that... Is that going to be awkward? I've never dated anyone older than me or significantly older than me.
Well, he'll be happy.
It's not going to be awkward at all.
It's not that... Yeah, 25 and 40 is not a lifetime difference. Yeah.
That's perfect. That's the way God plans.
Yeah, David dates girls this age. In fact, you're way over the hill for David Alcubierre.
No, she's cut off.
Yeah, you had 17. That's
no, never, ever. That's illegal. Never.
Right, 19,
we don't have anything
19.
To talk about.
All right, Laura, good luck.
Thanks.
Bye. Tag that, baby.
I'm telling you, I'm not wrong about this stuff.
Well, I just don't see how it can be anything but a letdown, even if she does sleep with this
gonna
guy.
He's going to be something chaotic. She smells that chaos.
I guess and either he's that or else he's just going to be the bored, middle-aged guy who's like,
No. And he's going to be a beer-swilling guy, too. And then she's going to start.
Maybe.
There we go.
Maybe. We'll see.
Here we go. Victoria, 17.
Drew is rarely right.
Thank you,
rarely
Adam.
Rarely wrong.
The ghost of Adam is preaching.
Victoria.
Hello.
Victoria, what's up?
Hey. I'm kind of like in a... little predicament here.
Right.
Recently, I tried something out. Like, I tried out a threesome.
Right.
With two guys.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Why'd you do that? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, okay, these two guys were my friends or whatever, and I don't know, we're just sitting around and we just kind of like suggested it, and I was just like, all right, you know, let's try this out. And after that, you know, like, it first.
See,
it,
here's the one of the difference between men and women, by the way. Those guys are not thinking, hey, I'd like to try this. They are like a lion in the brush absolutely. With a big piece of meat sitting there. They're like, how do I get
okay,
at this?
Okay, well, get this. This guy, whatever, one of the guys isn't a virgin, and the other guy was. And he lost his virginity to this threesome.
Right. Jesus Christ.
All right,
did you enjoy it while you were doing it?
At first, it was awkward, but then, you know, I kind of did. But then right. I felt bad afterwards.
Yeah. Right. And how have they treated you? Are they treating you the same or what?
Yeah, but I stopped talking to the first guy.
Why?
I just felt weird, you know, like, yeah. I felt kind of ashamed of myself.
Huh. He was the virgin, right?
Oh, I'm talking to the virgin still, the ex-virgin. But, okay, I didn't have any, like, emotional attachment towards these guys.
Okay.
At first, you know, I dumped the first guy because he was, like, 16 and a sophomore, and the second guy... I didn't have any feelings for him, but then we started hooking up, like, on the side, and then I started liking him, and, I don't know, like, I don't think he feels the same way, you know, like, and, like, I don't know what to do about it, because...
Have you asked him?
He's just into sex, David, that's the deal here.
Well, I mean, but you should be honest. Did you tell him how you feel about him?
Yeah, I did.
And what did he say?
Well, we were just like, you know, we better cut this out before anybody gets hurt.
All right. So he's got half a conscience here, this guy.
But then the next day, you know, like, we ended up doing it again. And now,
yeah, but
like...
that's not because he has feelings for it, Victoria. It's because he likes having sex.
That happens.
Well, yeah, huh? Like, taste the blood and wants more or something like that.
He just likes... No, we just... You gotta be realistic about how guys' brains work at that age.
How guys' brains
especially
work.
Especially at that age. Look, we're just waiting to die.
Work.
Be fair. Be real.
How guys' brains work. Come on. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, he is very focused on attaining sex. It's a powerful drive for him, and it's hard for him not to go after that when that's been provided to him.
Yeah, but like, you know, I was just like, you know, I'm not sure I want to be a booty call anymore, because
tell him. You don't want to be a booty call,
and
tell him.
I don't think you should, because this is going to, you are having feelings. This is going to be painful. This,
I mean, is this going to be like emotionally scarring?
No, but it seems to me that it's recapitulating some sense of yourself that you already have.
Uh-huh.
And you need to, rather than continue to keep yourself down and your esteem down, you need to begin building yourself
up.
You
like
shouldn't.
That,
you know? Made a choice. You did it. You can't go back, but you can go forward.
Yes. Do not continue.
Don't linger.
Don't linger in this thing that's making you feel bad about yourself. Assert yourself and make choices and do things that help you feel
like,
better.
I don't know. Do you think these guys like think I'm like some like whore or something?
Don't worry about what they think.
Yeah.
And if they do think that, then turn the tables on it. You were in control. You made this decision to do this. You did it once. It's not going to happen again.
Right.
You're in control now.
Right. And they are, believe me, they are so happy. So happy.
Yeah. And God bless you.
Yeah.
Do you have any older sisters?
Yeah. They're so happy. And if they have any shame in themselves, they'll turn it on you, and that's where that nonsense will come from.
Don't just your advice, just, like,
look,
you know, to tell me, you know, to just not to make a stupid mistake again.
Yes.
Don't.
Listen,
you know how you feel right now.
It's very simple. It's very simple. Let this thing kind of fade out. Don't make a big deal about it. These guys will fade into the woodwork again. Now, you've learned something about how your brain works in relationships and how males works in relationships.
Uh-huh.
Be realistic about that as you move forward, but don't allow things to transpire that are against your instincts.
Uh-huh.
And don't make choices that cause you to engage in behaviors that make you feel bad about yourself.
Well, this whole situation has kind of made me like feel disgusted like towards guys.
Guys are not bad. They just have a different biology operating.
Wait a minute. You made a decision.
Yeah.
They didn't force you to do any of this.
You didn't understand this stuff before. Now you understand.
Take responsibility, but you didn't.
But you
don't
learned
beat
something.
Yourself
you learned
up.
Something.
You want to be ashamed.
You understand things a little more clearly now. Have relationships that make you feel good.
Right.
Only if they make you feel bad, don't do it. Assert yourself. You don't have to do these things.
Be
right?
strong. Be powerful. Be a goddess.
All right.
Good night.
You take
care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
David Ongrier, Dr. Drew, Loveline. Aren't we good?
I cannot. You know, it's hard to be this caring.
Isn't
for
it?
So long.
Well, I know for you that's a bit of a stress.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Be that as it may. Yeah, we've done okay.
Go Lakers!
Here we go. Loveline, be right back.
I like a girl with a big butt, but fruit in the middle. It's juicy, it's sweet, cause it's fruit and in the middle. Check it out.
It is Loveline.
David Alan Greer spending the evening with me.
Absolutely.
We're having a good time.
Oh, we are healing some babies. Now, have you noticed I've kind of tried to bring it back because I thought I was a little over the top last time.
You bring it this time.
A little manicky. You bring it.
You're manicky.
And I was firing some blanks, you know, just like...
taking your Depakote now.
Yeah, just like Kobe and the rest of those guys. You know, you're throwing bricks up, but you keep firing.
The lithium works for you too sometimes.
And, yeah, sometimes, but I find some sexual dysfunction. I get flat erections,
But as a result of that manic episode, we've come out of it with a new product.
Absolutely.
Fruit in the middle, yogurt.
I've made it through the night. Here I am.
Okay, Ethel. There we are.
Always trying. Let's go.
You want to pick a call? You want to pick one?
Mr.
Yale graduate.
You
can read that screen quickly.
Adam Carolla?
No way. Can't read the numbers on the screen.
Let's go. No, not Sacktown, baby. Not again. No. Okay, let's go. Call number 6.
Mia, 17.
Mia, what's up?
Hey.
How are you?
Little girl voice, right?
Right. No.
Oh, yes.
He's always jumping to conclusions, me.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. What's up, baby? What's on your mind tonight?
Actually, I'm kind of stressing out a lot.
Okay.
Because it seems like every single guy friend I have only is interested in sex.
Okay. Like, well, that would be...
How old are you?
17.
They're absolutely normal.
Yeah, that way most guys are thinking about it at that age.
Well, they're not 17.
How they're old what? Are they? They're annoying?
They're not 17.
How
they're
old
like,
are they?
19 to about 39.
Wow.
Why are you hanging out with old guys like that?
I don't 39. Know. Have more in common.
And is the 39-year-old and the 19-year-old hang out together?
There's just like, that's all in between there.
What was
Wow.
Are they
all age ranges.
Like how many guys are you talking
where
about?
Where this is that they all hang out?
Yeah, that's frightening.
Wait a minute. How old were you when your dad left?
My dad's still here.
Okay.
He was not away for a while?
No. I hate him, but he's still here.
Okay. Is he an alcoholic or something?
Getting there.
Did he abuse you in some way?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Just, like, physical and, you know, that kind of stuff.
How old were you when that started?
I don't know. Six. Probably about...
Six?
No, probably about 13.
All right,
before
Dr.
you were 13, something went
Dr.
on, too,
Drew.
Though. Hang on. What else went on?
I don't really remember a whole lot from 15 back,
from
really.
15 back. So we don't even know how bad the abuse was.
Well, I don't really think anything happened. I really don't.
Well, you know how we just sit here and listen to voices all night, and when somebody comes on the line... It sounds like they're about 6-7 years old. It really strikes our ear. And what we have found is that means that really something happened and it sort of arrested their development.
Come here and give me a hug.
I don't really remember anything.
You don't remember anything?
Like, I remember bits and pieces, like playing and stuff.
Did anybody speculate that something happened to you?
What?
Did anyone speculate that something happened to you during that time?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
And then, now you having sex with these guys that are so interested in you sexually?
I guess. I kind of thought they were friends with benefits.
You guess?
Let me ask the question again. Are you having sexual intercourse with these guys?
Yeah, every time we see each other.
All right, how many guys?
Like, what, all together?
Yeah, you said these guys. How many
these
guys?
Not all together, just individually. How many guys?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't know, like 41, 42, I don't know.
42 guys.
But hold on. When you say 41, 42, that's your sexual history, or when you first called, you said they're these group of friends
I hang out with about 25, 30 guys.
And you slept with all of them?
Yeah.
And you're the only girl that hangs out with them?
No.
Are there other girls that hang out with them?
Yeah.
And what do they do?
There's like two other girls.
Do they sleep with them too?
One of them does.
Right.
These guys are doing something, man.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, what do you want?
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm kind of just wondering, like, is that like a bad thing? What should I do?
It's not a bad thing in some sort of moralistic sense, but it's bad for your health. It's bad.
Do you feel good about your behavior?
No.
Okay.
Right, so it's a bad thing.
Then it's a bad thing. Well, that's why you've called? I mean, did you call to tell us that you feel good?
Like, what can I do? I mean, I've went through therapy. Is there anything else I can do?
How many years were you in therapy for?
Just about a year until I ran away.
Okay, well, that's accomplished nothing. So you need to get back into that. And
I'm just scared to go to therapy again.
Why?
Because last time I went, I got committed, and the therapist kind of scares me.
Okay, why were you committed? What were you doing then? Were you cutting yourself?
Yeah. Cutting, and
I took suicide. All right, so this is very serious stuff, man, right?
You have to say
it sort of doesn't get worse than this for a 17-year-old to be with 40 guys. I don't know who these guys are, what they might be exposing you to. Please, dear God, don't get pregnant. Take some kind of birth control.
I am.
All right. Don't get sick.
Well. Good girl.
Well, I don't know. I feel like the only way I could be friends with a guy or I can get the guy is...
Are you sure your dad didn't sexually abuse you?
No, I don't think so, no.
The neighbor or somebody?
Hold on, Dr. Drew.
The only way that she can be close to a guy is sexually, is what she said.
Well, I don't know because she didn't finish it.
Like, attracted to me.
The only way to be
You have to change your behavior. Have you ever tried to not act out sexually, to try and not do this?
I tried to one time. It didn't work.
Are you an addict also?
An addict?
Yeah, do drugs?
Oh, yeah.
All right, why don't you get involved in a 12-step program?
I've tried that kind of stuff before. I've tried, like...
Why don't you make a concerted effort at it? What's going to happen?
You're going to get sick. You're going to get pregnant. You're going to get worse.
You're going to get older.
And then you're going to have children. And then you're going to have the same problems and no
worse. Frankly, that's the best scenario you can possibly paint for her.
Right.
She's on.
That's pretty much already happened.
You have kids?
I have a daughter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You have to stop this.
No, ma'am.
You have to be a parent first, ma'am.
Well, I am, you know.
No, you're not.
Effective kind of parent.
I don't get my kid involved in anything.
I understand the child isn't actually there, but your child is trying to look towards you as a parent, and your own emotional development is so underdeveloped right now that how can you possibly give that child what she needs? Listen, you got to go to some 12-step meetings. You have to make a commitment. You have to get it that you need to make change, and you have to go and grab whatever resources are available and initiate change. Start not having sex. Start not doing drugs. Start going to meetings. Get a sponsor.
Start being a parent. If you're a proper parent, you can't do drugs and sleep with 40 guys.
Get some real relationships going, and it'll be very painful and scary, as you found, even in that therapist relationship.
That means you're doing work. Yeah. I hope she heard.
Jess, 18.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. What's up?
What's up?
Drew, you're cool as hell.
Thanks, Jess. What's up?
And Adam,
No, that's it. I think you've said
David,
enough,
you're nuts,
Jess.
Man.
You're nuts, man.
What's your question, mister?
All right. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
is it possible for a virgin to get pregnant?
That's a no, right, Dr.
Well,
virgins cannot
get pregnant.
Well,
can sperm get in some way other than being deposited by a penis?
No, he said, is it possible for virgins to get pregnant? Now, I'm going to stake my career as a health worker and say it is medically impossible for virgins to get pregnant.
It's not impossible.
Hit me with the toad board, Jerry!
Because something else might deposit the sperm than a penis.
Like what?
A finger?
I was rubbing myself on her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you mean yourself?
Like I was putting my dick on her.
It's junk,
your
David.
Your stuff. Your big boy. Your man thing. Yeah. Your stick, your pipe, your rod. I got you.
So is it possible that it could have creeped in somehow?
Did you ejaculate on her?
Not directly, but I know for a fact, pre-cum could have definitely gotten on her.
All right, but it was still in the vicinity of the vagina, not inside the vagina.
Well, close enough, I guess.
Because
it couldn't have been inside.
I think you're fine.
She's a virgin.
I think you're fine.
And she also took a pregnancy test.
How long ago did this happen?
On Sunday, and she took a pregnancy test yesterday, and it came out negative. And
here we are, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday. You could have taken the morning after pill just to protect yourself.
Isn't it too soon?
I know, but I was like, there's no way you can get in. She's a virgin.
What do you mean no way you can get in? What are you talking about? Jess, in Los Angeles, California, you can get it without
a locked door.
You don't even need a prescription in California anymore.
No, he's...
You can get it without a prescription if you find the right pharmacy. Check out 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. They can refer you to pharmacy.
I thought he was saying there's no way the sperm could get in because she's a virgin. So you have to correct that. No, the sperm can get in.
Sperm get in.
It's not like there's a locked door on the Twinkie hole, my friend.
Don't know virgin.
No, yeah.
All right, but I think you should relax. But get the pregnancy test and do it in 2 weeks because that's when it's actually going to be meaningful, all right?
Not 2 hours.
All right, Jess, good luck. This is Amy, 25.
Hey.
Hey, Amy.
Hey, Drew, hey, David, I have a question. I just quit heroin last night, and
I was wondering, Drew, if you know of, like, ways to help the withdrawal.
Well, I'm of the opinion that you shouldn't try to do that outside of a hospital, okay?
Okay, well, it's already been over 24 hours, so, like,
The bad stuff's going to hit between day 3 and 5. And the things that can help, there's a medicine called clonidine. You can get patches of that.
What is that?
Clonidine. It's a medication. This is all prescription stuff. You can't go to the pharmacy to get it yourself.
You're trying to do this totally on your own, Amy?
Well, not totally. I mean, my boyfriend and I we've actually been using heroin off and on for a couple of years, and we've quit before on our own.
Yeah, but you can always quit.
It obviously hasn't worked.
Yeah,
right?
The staying quit is the treating
the
addiction part.
Right, well, I got a prescription for Exxolone.
What?
I got a prescription for, I think it's called Naxolone or Naloxone.
Naltrexone. Look, Amy, you're going down the wrong path here. You need to treat the addiction, not worry about just not using and or getting off the drug. You need to treat the primary process here. You need to go to NA. You need to get yourself a sponsor, and you have to really refigure your internal emotional structures in the process of recovery. You have to do it, or you will not stop, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen if you want to get high again with this naltrexone?
Well, if I'm taking this drug, it blocks.
Yeah, but what if you want to get high the next day?
Well, it's like a 3-day lasting.
What if you want to get high 3 days later?
Amy, what's the longest you stayed off?
I'm going to continue to take it every day.
What?
I'm going to continue to take it.
But what if you decide you want to get high?
For the rest of your life, you're going to take it?
What if you decide you want to get high?
Well, I'm going to move.
Amy, if all these things you're trying actually worked, that's what people would do to get off heroin.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work.
Okay,
period.
So what do you recommend I do?
Go to NA. Go to the meeting tonight. There are people that have been through exactly what you're going through that can help you and get you through this.
Give her a number, Dr.
Do not take the naltrexone, by the way, for at least 2 weeks because it will really intensify the withdrawal syndrome.
It will?
Oh, my God. You want to really get...
I thought it was like 24 hours after you...
No, don't do it.
Have you already taken it?
No, I wouldn't do that.
No, I haven't. I've taken another one. It's buprenorphine.
You're taking that now?
I took it a couple hours ago.
Well, buprenorphine you can take right away, but somebody
you have to wait 24 hours.
But somebody should be tapering you on that. Somebody should be giving you that, administering that. It's not something you should be taking at home. This is a mess, Amy. This is a disaster, the road you're going on. You're not doing this properly at all. Clonidine, Bentyl, Motrin, Robaxin, Neurontin, sometimes Ativan or phenobarbital.
I'm taking that, too. Uh-oh, should I not be taking Neurontin?
These are all things that you should be doing under very carefully, highly structured, supervised environment in a hospital. This will not work as an outpatient, especially with this whole mess you're taking. This is dangerous.
So what do you think I should do, like, right now? I mean...
Right now you should get yourself to a hospital that's used to treating heroin addicts and get off this drug and get into a program. That is what works. Okay?
Okay, but do you think I could start a program like in a couple days after I'm like feeling better?
You can start, no. Go in mean, right now. Right now, go to a facility that treats heroin addicts. Right now.
Can she go to a hospital, a public hospital?
Absolutely. There are hospitals.
So do that.
And she's in Seattle. I don't know any names are off the top of my head, but if you just open the yellow pages and look for the treatment centers.
You can do that.
All right?
All right, thanks.
All right, good luck. Bye. Oof. My God.
Yeah, no,
just give
her
the buprenorphine and they'll track.
Don't ask me. You see, I was silent. I don't know the dupanopalins and stuff.
All right, I'm upset.
Yeah, but you know what?
We're healing babies.
All right, and we'll continue to do so after this. Love line. Where should we go, David? All right. This is Paul.
Paul, what's up? Oh, my. I didn't know. Paul, where are you living?
Hello?
Hey, Paul, what's up, man?
Yeah, I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah. He wants to know where you live.
Where do you live?
Oh, Sacramento.
Cut him off!
Kings.
Cut him off! I didn't know it. I didn't realize. Please, operator.
What's up, Paul?
Hey, I got a question about acne rosacea.
Yeah.
I don't know if you... I know you're not a dermatologist, but do you know how my mother has it, and I don't have it, but I don't want to get it.
Well, it's an adult acne, basically, and you get it over after the age of 40. People tend to get this thing.
Okay,
and
so
is she having rhinophyma with it too? Is her nose getting big?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Does she drink?
She used to. I know heavily.
All right. Well, that's the people that tend to get it worse. So don't become an alcoholic. Don't drink, and this may not be so bad for you. Also, there are antibiotics you can take. There's something called Metrogel cream, and also laser now has been shown to be very effective for this.
Okay, because I just was really concerned with getting it, but go Kings.
Don't drink.
Go Lakers. Kings. Lakers.
You go, you,
Kings, Lakers!
Anderson, you actually a Kings fan?
No, I just hate the Lakers.
Oh.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you. You
called
yourself a man!
Joe?
What's going on?
Joe, where are you living right now?
I'm in Spavinaw, Oklahoma.
Very good. Love to hear it. Go ahead, Joe. What's up, man? What's up, man?
David?
Hey, how you doing,
bomb,
bro?
Dude.
What's up, baby? What's up?
Cold as hell.
All right, man.
Drew?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Joe?
10.
Very good.
So smart.
Joe?
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm 22. I'm dating a 16-year-old. And there's a girl at work that I like, and she's more my age. But I heard she has a boyfriend.
First of all, wait a minute. How'd you get in with a 16-year-old?
We met at a pool hall.
And don't you have some concerns about the age difference?
Yes, I do. Right. That's why I'm calling.
Are you having sex with her?
That's a good thing.
No.
That's a good thing. Okay, good. And he's not having sex with her. All right.
You don't, do you feel, how do you feel about this relationship you're in with the 16-year-old, Joe?
We get along really good. And it's a big change from what I had in the past.
What have you had in the past?
What?
I had a girl that was a couple years older than me, mm-hmm. and she just treated me like, sorry.
Right. Oh, Anderson will not let us continue with people that cuss on
that. Well, you know, that's what you get. Maybe that's some of his relationship problem there with Joe.
Well, the fact is, he has made bad choices in relationship.
Illegal choices.
He's now in a situation where there's a tremendous sort of power imbalance, and he feels in control now. And lo and behold, he's looking once again for something more real and genuine, somebody his own age.
Yeah.
And, of course, he goes for somebody unavailable.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Drew. Does your wife ever win an argument in your house?
Win?
Yeah.
Most.
Oh, that's beautiful. Why isn't she on the radio?
Huh? We'll call her if you want.
You keep the little missus at home, don't you?
Hillary, 19. Hillary.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Hillary. What's up?
Not much. I was just calling because, let me see. Where can I start? I'm 19 years old, and I have a pretty dramatic thing that sounds like Jerry Springer, but, all right. My best friend made out with this guy who I made out with a week, like, about a week ago, but it turned out that this guy turned... He made a bet with his friends that I'd have sex with him within the week. But I'm a virgin, and I don't plan on doing that until I'm in love. But, okay. My best friend, who does have sex with people, like, on a regular basis, made out with this guy at the same time. Like, made out with him a week later. And so, the guy's, like, out of the picture. Like, I know that. Like, there's no point wasting my time on it, but... With my best friend, I don't know what to do about the situation, you know?
Did she know you were into this guy?
Me? I was
Did she know you were into this guy?
Did she know?
Did she
Yes,
know?
Did she know?
She knew. She knew I was into this guy, but she also knew he was a jerk. He made a bet about me, like, that I'd have sex with him, you know? And so, like, I'm mad at this guy, but I'd expect her to be mad at him, too, for me, you know? She's my best friend. She's supposed to be there for me.
Yeah.
But, how long have you been friends with this girl?
She was my best friend since preschool.
So you know her pretty well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you surprised by her behavior?
We kind of had discussions we had a discussion where I asked her if she'd ever date a guy that I dated or date a guy that I liked. And she said, oh, I think you'd get over it. But
wait a minute. Did you hear what she said? Yeah. That means yes.
Yeah, but at that time it didn't seem like a big deal because I never put myself in a situation
where... Well, she put you on notice. She's been very clear. She's put you on notice that this is not a boundary she plans to respect.
Right.
She's going to go for whatever.
She's been true to her word, so you shouldn't hate her at all.
I can't say that necessarily, but the fact is there's something up with her that she doesn't perceive normal boundaries, and she is in such desperate need of gratification from men that she has to do these sort of sexual things.
So why would a girlfriend's best friend, knowing that she likes a guy, go make out with them or go sleep
because
with
him?
Because he was there, or is it an act of anger and animosity toward that other woman?
She probably has issues with women, sure.
Right, like, I can get them and you can't.
Probably.
Well, here's the thing.
Again, these are all attempts.
At the time.
Whatever, but it's all attempts on her to inflate herself.
The
I get
person,
these guys.
Right,
exactly. She really, Hillary, your friend really has a very, very low self-esteem, right?
Well, I'm not sure. She might. She's had sex with quite a few people, but
Yeah, she might have a low self-esteem. Yeah, she sometimes does, I hear it, but...
You need to get her to maybe help herself in that regard. In the meantime, she's not trustworthy.
Yeah, but you choose who you want to be friends with, so just know she's done it once, she'll do it again.
It's probably true.
True? After 2 hours, I'm probably right?
Finally. Well, David, what else coming up with you? Anything?
A lot. Dr. Drew, a lot. You know, I'm on the Life with Bonnie. It's Bonnie Hunt's new show on ABC in the fall. Yeah. And, of course, you know, I did a very special Boston Public, a very, very special Boston Public.
He was very good. He was, like, serious, too.
Thank you. Thank you. You don't have to say it with such surprise, my friend.
Okay. You were serious.
Cut that caller off.
Shock.
Cut that caller off.
Shocking.
Cut that caller off.
Go ahead.
Did he just curse?
Tell me more.
Actually, yeah, I did that. I have a movie I told you is coming out.
He's a Yale-trained actor.
Oh, here's something great. I did this movie called Tiptoes.
Yeah.
It's been directed by the genius, Matthew Bright, who directed Freeway.
He finally made a new film?
Yeah. It's called Tiptoes, and it's about little people. Gary Oldman's in it. Kate Beckinsale. Who else? Patricia Arquette. Gary Oldman. And I had a love scene. Yeah, Gary Oldman. And Gary Oldman. With Bridget, who's a little person. I had a love scene with her. So it was fabulous. And Matthew McConaughey, who is great. Wonderful.
Good guy.
So that's my little indie joint I'm doing.
Nice. Cool. Yeah.
I'm busy, baby. I'm busy.
Good time.
Yeah, and I got my pool fixed. You know, the tile fell off. So that was like my little house...
investment?
Gay house problem. You
nice.
Know, I was like, oh my God, I have to shrink the water down. And then they repaired the tile and I filled it up. Goody! And all day I was watching the water fill. Like, yeah, it's almost up there.
This is Loveline. We'll be right back.
It's almost up there.
Well, that about does it.
No, it doesn't. Let's take one more call.
I want to thank you for having been here.
You've
done a great job and really bringing it tonight.
And thanks for that medical cocktail that got me through this evening. I'd like to thank the makers of...
That was methamphetamine.
It was,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
What's David Alan Greer used to get laid?
Goofballs.
Roofies, baby!
I do use the roofums.
And it's been a pleasure. You've done a great
job.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
What should we look for next? What's the next thing?
Well, the big thing is Life with Bonnie. It will be on this fall. I believe it's 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
Anything during the summer?
It's banging. Davey's Dick Joke Tour is on the... it's continuing on. I'm going to Africa, and I'm just going to rest.
Nice.
I really, you know, I've been hungry so hard.
Right, and you'll call me now?
I will call you. Yes, I do have your numbers.
You've eaten only half of them.
No, I will. Because I have some medication problems.
Nice.
You know, I'm trying to get off the junk.
You guys
myself.
Go out and have fun. You guys never clean anything.
No, we're going to meet at Adam's bachelor party.
No.
We have to do an intervention. You have to tell him what it really is like to be married.
It won't do any good. He's going to have to find
tell
out for himself.
Tell him what it is like.
You will sit there, and I will tell him.
All right.
And he won't believe it.
Okay.
And he'll say it's something wrong with me.
There are going to be tampons in your drawers,
I
mister!
I have a successful marriage, and he won't listen to me.
No.
All right. Again, David Alan Greer.
Healing babies.
Look for him in the fall.
Love him.
On ABC, 2 o'clock, Tuesday at...
9 o'clock!
9 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Tuesday. The 2 slipped out. Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Thanks so much for letting me be a part of Loveline.
And it'll be Adam and Jimmy in here tomorrow night from New York with me here.
That is frightening. Yeah. I'd be in New York with them, but I'm holding it down here.
All right,
go Lakers Friday, baby.
Until tomorrow, mahalo.
I like a girl with a big butt, but fruit in the middle. It's juicy, it's sweet, because it's fruit and in the middle.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.